Hello. This is Cammie. Hi, Cammie, it's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
So
is everybody else?
Don, I'm on the line, and Cammie's also on the line, as well as Nancy.
All right, good, thank you. I tried to dial in as host, and wouldn't allow me to do that, so I apologize for being slightly late here, but I think we have everyone, so if we are on record, it sounded to me like we were, but let me confirm that, and
yes,
then I'll
end
the meeting.
Right. Yes, we
thank
are. Recorder is on.
Good, thank you. We're at 10:03 on Thursday, July 8th, and I will now call the meeting of the Port Ludlow Drainage District Commission to order. I might note that this is still a fully a telephonic meeting. As of June 30th, LNI allowed in public meetings to be optional. There are some requirements. Apparently the fire hall is now available as of 2 days ago, but we're in a position to really confirm that all requirements are taken care of. So we're following the lead of Jefferson County Commission, which still is maintaining electronic, fully electronic, non-in-person meetings. And hopefully we can work out the deal so next week we can be face-to-face again. But with that prologue, let me go over for the record today's agenda, and then I'll call for a roll call. Item one was the call to order. Number two will be roll call. Three is agenda approval. Four will be public comments. Five will be our agenda. I'll go through that later. Six will be the consent agenda. Seven will be signing documents by commissioners. That will be done within 5 business days of the approval of any resolutions. So that will not occur during this meeting. Then finally, we'll have adjournment. So with that overview, I will call the roll. The position, Commission number one, is open. I am Don Forbes, Commissioner number two.
Deborah Hellison, Commissioner three.
All right, at this point, I'd ask for approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
I have a motion to approve the agenda, but I'd like to add just one item under Commissioner's report where we do discuss preparation returning to in-person meetings. And with that addition, I would call for approval, make a motion to approve.
Good, and I agree with that. So I'll second. Those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, then we're on to item number four, public comments. Are there any members of the public who have dialed in that would wish to comment at this point? Hearing none, I will proceed on to the next agenda item. There'll be three items under that, engineering, old business, and commissioner's report. Let's begin with engineering. Nancy, I think you have three items under that one.
Yeah, the first one is hold on, I'm going to take myself off speaker here once.
Okay, the first item is the Machias Loop easement updates. And I have sent easement documents and letters to LMC, the Kings, and the Allenders. And commissioners, you've been copied on all those letters. I had a phone tag and then an email tag with Mr. Allender. The upshot is he's going to sign the easement. He understands the benefit of the facilities, and he knew they were on his property. The Kings, I sent them, I talked to Mrs. King on the phone, July 1, I think it was, and I sent the easements and the letter to their email address, and I got a call from the Kings yesterday. They hadn't received the documents, sent them back to them this morning. But we did talk on the phone and went through what the easement means and what they could or couldn't do within that wedge of easement. They're going to send me their plan of the site with the house located on it so that I can draw on the location of the catch basin and the pipe to verify that it's not going to impact their construction. And then LMC, I had some email correspondence with Brian and then also sent LMC a lengthy letter of explanation on the easement, location of the pipe, what the plan was, how long this project had been in planning, and the number of commissioner meetings. Well, I didn't specifically tell them the number of commissioner meetings that this had been discussed. They're having a meeting this afternoon, the LMC workshop, and I just got an email here. I had sent an email to Brian asking if they needed me to be on the phone this afternoon, and I just got this email now where he says he didn't think so. The easement is pretty straightforward. The only complication would be if the Kings or Allenders reject the easement request, but I don't think either of those parties are going to reject them. So that's what I know about that. The second item is update on the Oak Bay culverts, installation of a baffle plate on the west end to limit culvert discharge. I have talked to Monty Reinder of Jefferson County, and we talked about a few items. And Monty said the county would be willing to lower the elevation of the bottom of the ditches slightly. I reminded him that the reason the ditches weren't lowered in the first place was because there's fiber optic in the area directly under the ditch, my understanding. Anyway, we left it that if I'm passing through that area at some point, I would stop and take some measurements of where the overflow is in relation to the bottom of the ditch, see if the ditch could be lowered, and then also come up with a plan for a more permanent little baffle plate on the bottom of the culvert intake. I think I mentioned previously that years ago I had put in kind of a soft foam baffle, and I suspect that got weed-eated or, you know, cut by the mower the first time they mowed the ditch. So, the county's not adverse to doing something, and probably the first step would be to lower the elevation of the ditch as much as possible. And then, Don, I'm at Sparrow Lane. I think the comment there was the property owner wanted kind of the outfall that's to the ravine cleaned out. I understand Russ Lowry with Yard Dogs went over there and tried to do some cleaning. Maybe, Don, you know more than I do. And Adventurer Lane, there was a request from a property owner to maybe relay the perforated pipe. Is that true? Is that what those requests are about?
It was supposed to just be open channel. Yeah, so it was, you know, there's just a channel from basically where water's collected that goes on down into the drainage area per se, and that channel was mostly filled in with just, you know, surface debris, and so during the heavy rain and earlier this year, which understandably was, you know, not a typical rain event, there was some minor flooding onto that adjacent property owner's property. So it didn't look to me like there was anything major that needed to occur. I just asked Russ when he's doing routine maintenance this summer, to go ahead and just deepen that channel slightly, and we're talking about that. We're talking 2 or 3 inches is all that's required. So it's basically just hand tools and not much work. And I think that's all that's going to be necessary.
Okay, yeah. And he's got that on his watch list, and he's got Sparrow on his watch list as well. So.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's it for me.
Excellent. Thank you, Nancy. Any questions before we move on to old business?
No, I don't have any questions. That's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Public records management guidelines. This is yours, I believe, Deborah.
Yes, this is in regards to the document that our records retention clerk, Mary, had written, and she had sent a copy to the commissioners. And what it is, it augments the resolution that was approved back in 2018, which is public records policy. So the guideline that Mary has written up essentially gives specific information in terms of where records are kept and how to access them, location and timing for archiving. Talks about using a style guide for naming documents so they're easy to find. And Don, what I'd like to do is go ahead and approve this document to be our official guideline. I think the best utility of it is that it just gives anybody entering into the commission the tools that they need to find documents, whether they're on our website or on our official district computer, or if in some cases they're saved under the district admin emails. So I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and approve this as a guideline to be used by the district. And if this motion is approved, then what I would do is add a footer or a header to it showing the date that it was approved and included in the minutes from this meeting, and also then post it on the website.
Good. And I only have one question, and that is whether we even need a commission action on this. Is this more just a clarification or implementation of what was already decided by the commission? Therefore, you could do it under your own authority?
Yeah, that would be fine. It is a guideline. Like I said, it's not a resolution. It's a guideline. So I will take care of that in the next few days.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you. Going on to commissioners' reports, we now have 3 items, and I think, Deborah, you have the first 2, and I'll take the 3rd one.
Okay. First, I'll go over the insurance cost increase. We've gotten a couple of notifications of that policies are going to be increased 10 to 15%, so I thought it was good to go back and just review what our insurance costs are right now. And for 2021, we paid $4,129 for insurance. Our property schedule has 4 structures valued at $382,000, and our general liability is the state pool minimum, which is $20 million. So looking at a 10 to 15% increase, we can expect that for 2022, the rate will be somewhere around $4,500 to $4,700. We have not gotten the invoice yet, but that's just kind of a heads up that there will be a significant increase. The other item that I added during the agenda. Approval is just preparing for the return of in-person meetings. I had, as you noted, Chairman Forbes received information on the 6th that the fire hall is now available for in-person meetings. Reviewing what the requirements are for us to be able to take advantage of that is the Department of Labor and Industry has put together guidelines of how to safely return to group meetings, and we fall under the same requirements that a business opening requirements. And that is that unvaccinated people must wear masks, and it's our obligation to confirm that vaccination, and we have to come up with a process of how we're going to confirm that. We have to provide hand washing facilities and supplies, and we have to provide face masks for those who show up that don't have them. So I will work with the fire hall to see what precautions they have already put in place and what will be our responsibility. Personally, at this point, I'm kind of inclined to just say that all people have to wear a mask, because I think trying to confirm vaccination and come up with a process of how we confirm that is kind of a risky thing for the district to take on. But I think I'll also call Andrew, our legal advisor, and see what he thinks in that. But at this point, if we can get these processes understood and feel that we can get them in place, then I think meeting in person in August is a potential.
Good. I like that approach. This is one of those areas where an abundance of caution is far more important than trying to immediately open up our meetings, because this is serious, and B, our meetings typically aren't well attended anyway, particularly like next month when we are only really doing vendor voucher approvals. And so I prefer to err on the side of caution. Meeting with the fire hall sounds like a wise first step, because we may just be able to accept their standards for entry. And then whether it's next month or however long it might be, it seems like following the lead of Jefferson County Commission itself is prudent, since we reside in the same larger community. So. Long-winded way of saying, yeah, I like your approach, and keep us posted.
Yes, I will, and depending upon what come up with, information will be provided on the next agenda in terms of not only will we be meeting in, if we end up meeting in person, but also what precautions the public would have to take in order to attend that meeting.
Exactly.
And then, Chairman Forbes, I forgot to add it to the agenda, but I just wanted to note that typically under Commissioner's report in this quarterly meetings, there would be a financial report, but I have not received all the information needed from the treasurer's office at the county in order to finish off the quarter two financials. So as soon as those are available to us, we will, FLG will prepare that information, and it will be posted on the website. But I think because of the three-day holiday, things were a little slower coming out of the county, and I didn't have it available for today's meeting.
All right. Thank you for that. Last item, proposed suspension. Actually, as a commission, not of operations. We would intend for the operations, that is maintenance and attendant engineering, continue on. But I did attend a again, telephonic meeting with Jefferson County Commission earlier this week. They asked for background on our resolution, so we had a very good discussion about why it made sense to us to propose suspension of the commission. For the record today, let me just do a brief summary. We talked about this several times before, but when the district was first formed in 2000, we had a role that included creating a capital infrastructure as well as maintaining it. At this point, the capital construction is over with, and we're in maintenance mode, and so now we're in a position of having three elected officials manage a $40,000 a year maintenance and attend an engineering program, and that just doesn't make sense to us, particularly because we have an obligation for a fair amount of administrative overhead that comes with just being an active commission. So our overhead is in excess of 100%. There's no particular value. It's just simply that we're so small that there's no economy scale. We have a fixed cost there. We could be managing a program probably $400,000 a year or so and still have exactly the same administrative costs. But in any event, that the magnitude of that administration really didn't make any sense to us. And so I think they understand that. My guess is that they're taking our request seriously. They're going to have the county administrator is going to put together a team of county employees and have a workshop next Monday and then prepare a recommendation to the commission. I don't know whether it'll take action. My guess is that everybody understands that we're in a position where having elected officials for such a small program doesn't make sense. But it also may take more effort than they determine that it's worth trying to make any changes. So I'm not sure exactly where we're going to stand. I also noted that my last meeting, I'm going to resign effectively the end of August, partially because we're now in a maintenance mode and there's very little active role that the commission takes in the routine maintenance of the operation, and partially because for 4 months a year now during the winter time when we might be the busiest, I won't be in the county. And so it doesn't make sense to have a commission member, but particularly a chair that's absent during the time when the most activity might occur. So they understand that I'm stepping down the end of August and that irrespective of what they do, which may take a longer than this next month and a half, they need to find another commission member. So there's at least a viable quorum so we can continue to at least pay our vendors. With that, I answer any questions that others might have, but that's my understanding of where things stand.
Don, was there any mention of a public meeting regarding the suspension, because that is one of the things that's mentioned under the RCW, is that the county commissioners would present the proposal to landowners through a public hearing.
I think they understand that part. The dilemma for them was, what this might look like if we actually suspend the commission. And so we talked about that issue, and I offered that there are a number of scenarios that could play out depending on whether they want to carry this forward. And so part of what I think their discussion would be is what are the possible scenarios for carrying this forward, and then if they decide that it is not that it's worthwhile, but whether it is cost effective to change the existing order of things, then they would go ahead and elect to hold a public meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on this one?
No, that was the only question I had.
Okay. On to item 6, which is the consent agenda. We have two parts on that. One, approval minutes from the June 10th, 2021 meeting, which is meeting 277, and then voucher request numbers 21-048 through 055, totaling $3,089.30. Payroll in the amount of that total payroll is $215.51. So again, there are two items, and I'd consider a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. So now we're down to signing the documents. As I noted earlier, that will be done individually by commissioners within the next 5 business days. So now we're actually down to a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned, and thank you, everyone, for attending today. Have a wonderful July, and we'll see you in August.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.